College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown.
We love the 1980s wrestling era, when kayfabe was king and wrestling did whatever it took to protect the business. When all the territories dealt with the rise of the WWF and the NWA emerged as its greatest challenger. Imagine if there were an epic drama series based on that era, combining the corporate warfare and the family drama of Succession with the giant cast and epic storytelling of Game of Thrones. That day has come. Kings of the Ring is the first audio drama podcast based on wrestling.
Go back to your trailer, you hillbilly.
It's a fiction series about the 1980s wrestling wars and the sex, drugs, and muscles lifestyle of the 80s wrestler and the sacrifices they make for success. With guest voice acting appearances by Lainey Poffo.
I even have a good dropkick.
And AEW's RJ City.
I didn't really have that much to do.
Search Kings of the Ring from any podcast app or kingsotr.com and binge away.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode. I am your host, JP John Paz, from the two-man power trip, of course. Joining me is the former WCW and ECW World Tag Team Champion, one of the greatest minds and bookers ever in the history of the business, the Games Master, the Taskmaster, the devil himself, Mr. Kevin Sullivan. Kevin, how are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing really well, JP. How are you?
Doing good. Now, last week we were talking about Starrcade 88, and I wanted to ask you something about Rick Steiner, and forgot to bring it up, but I just wanted to kind of just button that up real quick. So Rick Steiner was kind of your idea, right? Like, as far as pushing him and really getting behind him?
Well, I went to Dusty. I mean, it was obvious. I mean, it was like not on the same scale, but people started chanting for Stone Cold. You're not going to keep him heel.
Yep.
You know what
but
I mean?
he himself, Dusty, wasn't, you know, behind the push at first, and you kind of had to talk him into
he saw it too. I just went up to him and said, hey, we have to turn him. Yeah.
So there was a big rumor at this point, which is the kind of the point I forgot to bring up, but was Rick Steiner versus Ric Flair. Was that ever planned for Starrcade? Because it was Ric Flair versus Lex Luger, but was Rick Steiner so over that he was actually planned for that main event or no?
No. If he was, I never heard of it.
Because it seemed like dirt sheets or whatever, the rumor mill was that, he might get a world title shot against Flair. But if you look at it, the design storyline with him and Mike Rotundo and you was built up for months. Like, that seemed like the logical step, him versus Rotundo, which was the match.
Right.
Interesting that rumor's kind of out there, because it was actually another rumor going even further that at some point around Starrcade 88, the plan was for Rick Steiner to squash Ric Flair and win the WCW title. Is that any truth to that at all?
I don't see how it could be.
Would you have been in favor for Rick Steiner winning the title?
No.
Too much too soon?
Yeah, he wasn't ready for it. Rick had how long had he been in the business? A year and a half?
Yeah, it's only a couple of years pretty much at that point, yep.
He wasn't ready for it. Now, he turned out to be fabulous. Yeah, later on down the line, absolutely. But you're not ready in a year and a half.
Definitely not. Where do those rumors come from? You know what I mean? Like, hey, he's supposed to win. He's supposed to be Flair. Where does that come from?
People hearing it and just repeating it, I believe.
Do you think that the guys itself are feeding some of the dirt sheets some BS just to see if they'll post it kind of thing?
Yeah, I think so.
Just interesting to think. I know Rick was like, in his baby stages here, Starrcade, when you're talking about Starrcade 88, definitely he would move on to become great. But I thought, man, it's too much too soon. Luger's, even almost not ready yet. Sting's not ready yet. Just too much too soon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Also wanted to bring up an interesting thing that I was listening to. Raven was talking about this, and you could tell me, because sometimes Raven can be a little kooky, so you tell me the truth. Raven said that he used to argue with you all the time about booking and what he should be doing and where he should be going, and he was constantly in your ear and talking about the Raven character and a push and this and that. Is that true?
Yes.
So what would he do? What would he say?
He always wanted to add something, subtract something. And I didn't mind it at all, because he usually came up good and shit. He knew his character.
What would the argument be, though, that you were wanted to de-push him?
No, there was no argument about de-pushing him. It was a finish. He wanted to do something, including something in the finish. There was no... See, this is, you ask me, how does this shit happen? People get on to different programs and forget what they're actually talking about. You know what I mean? They said, I used to argue with them about finishes and it would laugh. Well, someone will take it and run with it, you know?
When you look at what was going on then, would he give you the better finish or you'd stick with your finish?
Sometimes he'd give me the better finish.
And you'd go with it?
If it was a better finish, why not?
You know, some bookers will be like, no, my idea, even though it sucks, that's the end all be all. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but why would you do that, JP?
I don't know. I guess just an ego thing, basically.
No, he's a very smart guy. Anytime you can take a load of all those matches off you, that a guy, going in there, some guys are going to be able to help you tremendously. And finishes. about quite a bit.
What do you think about Raven and his mind for the business?
Oh, very smart guy. Well, what do you think about him?
Seems like one of those guys that's like super intelligent, maybe too smart for wrestling. You know what I mean? Like one of those type of guys, high IQ guy. You know what I mean?
Where do you come up with that?
It just seems like he always is like saying stuff that's super intelligent, or he. Or, it just seems like when you're listening to him that he's always talking about things that are just above, quote unquote, above wrestling.
Give me an excuse. A reason you're coming up with that.
Like he'll say, oh, "I'm watching this TV show, and you know they should have done this, and this." Like he'll explain himself and kind of give you something that you weren't expecting. It's almost like he's like a madman, but he actually is kind of like a mad genius. Like he could explain something that you're like, wait, what? Why, you know, why would you do that? And he'll say, well, you know, let's do this because this makes this guy look like an idiot. And why would you do that? And now this person has the sympathy, but you really don't want the sympathy on that person. Like he'll kind of just break it down for you.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't see how that's a mad genius.
But then he'll say something like totally off the wall that, you know, you think he's on drugs or something. You know what I mean? Like one of those guys. Like they come up with some smart stuff and then they say crazy stuff too.
Well, that's just his opinion. We all have opinions. Don't you think?
Yep. But you don't think he had a good mind for the business?
I don't know where we got off that. I don't think he had a good mind for the business. I said I thought he had an excellent mind for the business. I told you that when we get finishes, I'd use his finishes half the time. He had a great mind for the business.
Just not a genius.
I don't know what a genius is.
They always say Paul Heyman, a genius, booking, stuff like that.
Has he cured cancer?
Definitely not.
Okay.
When you look at, though, like Raven, did he bother you, let's say, you got 100 finishes 90% of the time? Or like, how much does he, like, bother you and say stuff to you?
Oh, 40 times.
Is that more than a lot of the other guys or no?
Yeah, but he was a thinker. He was a thinker. And he had been thinking about what he was going to do from the time he finished the match on a Monday night till the next Monday when we went back in.
As a booker, do you like more of a yes man as far as like guys that have taken the orders? Or do you like guys that are come back and forth with you and you guys kind of come to a compromise?
I don't want to get into an argument with somebody. I want it done my way. But if you can show me that you're doing it, the finish is the right finish to go on, or you want to add something on, yeah, I'm for that.
Now, with Raven, was he the guy that would kind of come with you the most? Not argue, but, you know, come with you and talk with you about booking the most, or were there guys that would talk to you more?
No, I don't know how this, I've never heard of this.
Really?
Yeah.
He's talked about it a few times. Not arguing with you, but it's just that he wanted to kind of not be a booker, but I guess like get his character over the way he thought the character and he wanted the finishes to be. So it would be like he would constantly want to talk to the booker, whether it was Heyman or whether it was you know, whoever it was, but he constantly was wanting certain things. And then TNA again with Jeff Jarrett and different things, he would always talk to the booker about the way he wanted things to be.
Okay, but I mean, I never saw him being a pain at all.
Did you ever think to yourself you didn't want to push him or give him a push because he was buddies with DDP? Was that ever a thing?
You say that again? Because he was what?
Buddies with DDP.
No, why would I do that?
That was another thing he had said. He said, oh, because I was boys with DDP, not just you, but he said he was more like, I guess, for Bischoff, but he didn't think he wanted to give him a big push because he was buddies with DDP and DDP kind of got him into WCW. It was just a thought that he was saying, like, oh, maybe, you know, Bischoff and Kevin didn't really want to give me a big push because I was buddies with DDP.
Didn't DDP work with Goldberg, get a huge push?
Oh, yeah.
So where does this come from?
I think he means like politics is DDP's buddies with Bischoff. Then it looks like he's buddies with DDP. It looks like he's getting a push because he's buddies with you know, the guy who's good friends with the boss.
I don't know, JP. This is a strange one. This is the first I've heard of this shit.
A lot of politics, it seems like. But as far as it's like guys that would come to you, who came to you the most just as far as like, hey, let's do this, like with ideas? Who was like the biggest idea man?
Paulie.
What about wrestler wise?
Mostly, the Four Horsemen, the NWO, they would come to me.
Is that a good thing, though? Because sometimes it's almost like, man, they're really trying to get themselves over.
And sometimes they gave finishes where they got beat.
Which doesn't get talked about a lot, for sure. I know we've talked about that with Hall Nash in the past, taking a few jobs to Flair.
They put Rey Mysterio over.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now, as far as just current talk real quick, I just wanted to get your opinion on this as a booker. So Triple H, obviously, is the booker, head of creative WWE. Survivor Series is coming up. They have a surprise guy on the team, and for the baby faces, because Drew McIntyre is now with the Judgment Day, and they have the announcement of, hey, you got to make a decision. You have to have a fifth member of the team by the end of the night. Obviously, it's in Chicago, and they don't want to go into the pay-per-view as a surprise. So they basically, Orton didn't come out, but they announced Randy Orton for the team. Is that how you would have done it as a booker, just so the crowd doesn't chant for CM Punk or think CM Punk is a surprise guy because it's in Chicago?
I'm not sure. I'd have to be in the middle of the, I'd have to know everything that's going on. You know, that's what becomes the problem. We guess we know what they're doing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
We don't actually know what they're doing. I mean, now they're saying that CM Punk could be the devil.
Right, in AEW, right.
So unless you know what's going on, this is just playing a guessing game. This is Clue. You know, Professor, the butler in the pantry with a candle holder. That's all you're playing now.
Do you like having Orton return at Survivor Series, not as a surprise guy, but as an announced guy, but that'll be his re-debut? So they announced that it's his return on pay-per-view. Do you like that?
Yeah, probably because most people would think he's going to win, right, when they announce he's coming back.
Yep.
Gives him a different flavor, and he comes back a lot better, I think.
It's definitely different because I don't remember them doing it too often where they announce who the surprise guy is ahead of time, but the guy doesn't actually come out. Like, they just say. And, like, actually, he, technically, Cody Rhodes didn't say his name, but he said all of his nicknames. So and the crowd said his name. So it was one of those things where I've never kind of quite, if I'm remembering, I don't think I have seen that before, where they announce a surprise guy, but they don't actually bring him out as a surprise. The crowd just chants his name.
Yeah, I see that. I mean, do they need Cody right now to be in a gimmick match? I mean, Randy in a gimmick match? I don't think so.
Oh, no, you don't think he needs to be in War Games?
No.
What would you do with him?
What would you do? Would you have him win?
I'm not sure what I would do. I honestly was thinking maybe you come back and you turn him on Cody, because Cody was saying, oh, he's my old friend, I'm bringing him back. And I don't know, I would kind of bring him back and just have him turn on Cody. Like, hey, you think I'm coming back here and now you're the top guy? I've been out for 18 months. I know technically, storyline-wise, I think the Usos injured him before he left, but I would have him turn on Cody.
Wait a minute. Who has more sympathy right now? Randy for being out for 18 months? Or Cody, where he didn't get the job done?
Who? I don't know. The stuff, I guess Orton might have, right? You would think? So you got to wait maybe on the turn?
I would think so.
He is the Viper, though. You can't trust a snake like him. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of been his MO. He just doesn't get along with others, usually.
Well, he was over with the RKO Bros.
Yes. Yep.
That was the last thing he did, right?
Yep. And now, obviously, Riddle's been released. Yep.
Yeah.
Riddle's being picked up. I see in 2024, it's going to be on a bunch of indie shows. And there's a lot of people that are having issues with that because of his past and some of the sexual allegations against him. Do you mind him getting booked all over the place, or do you think that he should be out of wrestling? Does he deserve a second chance?
I don't know how to, again, we're condemning people. We don't do, have they gone to court? I mean,
no.
So we're just taking, we're taking assumptions. We're assuming he's wrong. That doesn't, you're supposed to be innocent in this country until proven guilty. And I'm not saying he wasn't, but get a little bit more information on this. You know, and but all this is because of Randy. It's a pretty good deal if you're not sure who's going over, because all the guys are over so well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yep. You're in a good shape there.
Yeah, I feel like the babyface team on War Games is more stacked than the heel team. The heel team has Judgment Day and Drew, obviously, is the big guy for them. But the babyface team got Jey Uso, Sami Zayn, Rollins, Cody, who's the big babyface, and Orton. I feel like it's a little bit of a squash there. I feel like the babyface team has a lot of main event guys on it.
Well, you, why do you say that?
Well, JD McDonagh is on the heel team. He's kind of just a, I don't know, he doesn't have many wins. He's from NXT. He's like a younger guy. It's almost like he's just in there in the, you know, the quote unquote JJ Dillon role, if you will. You know, he's the one that's going to probably take the fall in the match, I guess.
Do you think that will happen, or will he take the fall and surprise people?
Could do that. Maybe give him a little bit of a push. Yeah, could do that.
Yeah.
How would you book this? Would you have Orton turn? Would you have the baby faces win? Like, what would you do with it?
Why would you have Orton turn?
I'm not sure. I think that's just like the obvious thing with him, because he always turns on everybody. But yeah. So how would you book it?
Well, we just said he's been out for 18 months. The Usos beat him up. They got all the heat. Cody went, and everybody thought he was going to win the title. He didn't win the title, and you're going to put him over, turn Uso, turn Randy heel? That doesn't make sense to me.
So you got them going over babyface style? Orton's going to get the win for the team?
I would.
Would you do Orton versus Reigns next as a feud? Maybe the big Royal Rumble match?
That could be. They got so many guys right now. They could go from Sammy to Kevin to Seth to Drew to so many guys that right now. There are so many guys that whoever works out the best would be the guy to go on.
Right. The topic at hand today, WCW Starrcade 1989, December 13th, Atlanta, Georgia at the Omni. The attendance a little over 10,000. Pretty good house there for the Omni. The tagline, of course, is called Future Shock, and the pay-per-view buys are right around 130,000. Now, this event is solely going to feature a new thing called the Iron Man Tournament and the Iron Team Tournament. The participants for the Iron Man are Sting, Lex Luger, Ric Flair, and the Great Muta. That's for the Iron Man Tournament. And for the tag team, it is Doom, the Steiner Brothers, the Road Warriors, and the new Wild Samoans, who are going to be replacing the Skyscrapers for the Iron Tag Team Tournament. Of course, Sid Vicious was injured. That's why the Skyscrapers are out. This, of course, will lead to a big, big-time thing with Sting and Flair, but we'll get to that later. But the Iron Man and the Iron Team tournaments were round-robin tournaments featuring these four competing individuals and these four teams respectively. The point system, 20 points for a pinfall or submission, 15 points for a count out, 10 points for disqualification, 5 for a time limit draw, and you get 0 points for a loss. Who came up with this idea?
Somebody in creative, obviously, right?
Right. You're there, though. So you're in creative. You're on the committee at this point, 89. So are you coming up with this stuff?
I'm not booking in 99.
89. This is 89. So are you a part of the committee?
Yeah, I'm part of the committee. Yeah.
You didn't come up with this idea, or you don't remember who actually...
This was Rick. I mean, Rick was the head of the committee at the time. So it was kicked around, and we came up with it. We thought that would be the best idea.
When you look at the Sid injury, the Skyscrapers, it's okay because you put the Wild Samoans in there, technically the new Wild Samoans, who are actually the old Islanders, or not Islanders, like the old Fatu brothers here with one half of the Islanders and one half of the head shrinkers here with Fatu and the Tonga Kid, a.k.a. Samu and the Samoan Savage. So, excuse me, a.k.a. Fatu and the Samoan Savage. So, okay that you replaced the Skyscrapers here because you have such a good team in the Wild Samoans to replace them, right?
Right, absolutely.
And these two boys, obviously, the Tiger Kid, a.k.a. the Samoan Savage, and then Fatu, a.k.a. Rikishi, a.k.a. Rikishi Fatu, those two obviously are brothers in real life. Great team in and of itself right there. Right? Kind of a rare team, if you will, because Tonga Kid teamed with Haku as the Islanders, Fatu and Samu teamed together, and then, of course, the Wild Samoans and this new Wild Samoans is two brothers together. So it's almost like forging the Samoans all together in like a nice little super tag team here. So pretty cool. You can go to the well and have these guys on the bench.
Yeah, exactly. And these guys were so good. So good.
Do you like this Iron Man round robin tournament type thing? It just seems like way out of the box. Definitely a different idea.
I think everything you can look back at, you can find faults, or you can find positive thinking. As you go back, you can find mistakes. I think that we were competing so much at the time that we were giving them too many gimmick matches.
I agree. Definitely seem that way. It is funny, though, if you look at today's wrestling, AEW is copying this contest. It's called the AEW Continental Classic. A little bit different on the point system. It's more like European soccer round-robin tournament rules, but they're copying this idea here. Do you think that's a good idea in 2023?
No. No. I don't think that at all, because I believe someone's going to get hurt.
How so? What do you mean, just by having too many tournament matches?
No, because they're going to try to... Why do you think these guys are getting hurt?
Crazy moves. No, like, guy to catch them. You know what I mean? No experience on the other end either.
Going through... He'd rather go through real glass.
Oh, yeah.
That's where I'm at.
It is funny that they're kind of going to the well, but we haven't seen this idea in so long that it might actually not be terrible. But as far as some of the matches, he said, I promise no outside interference. Isn't that a rule in wrestling anyway that there's supposed to be no outside interference?
Yeah.
Why would you say that? That doesn't make sense.
I have no idea on that one. That's something. Why would you even say it? It's a rule. Three strikes and you're out, you know?
Yeah. Yep, weird. It is funny, like, when you look at AEW here, he definitely is a big fan because, I mean, he goes back, and I know he knows a lot of the shows and stuff, but I feel like he was recently watching Stargate and like, ooh, I'm going to have my own round-robin tournament. It just seems like he'll go back and watch old matches. You know, like, he does war games and everything else too, but, I mean, it just feels like he just tries to almost relive some of his childhood and bring it back just a little bit, just with his flavor to it.
Yeah, I think he grew up on wrestling. I think Tony has some great ideas. I think that if he brought in Flair, I think Flair may be able to help him. You know, nobody has been in the... as many major matches, I don't think, than Ric Flair in the last 40 years, do you?
Besides Hogan, definitely not.
Yeah.
Although Flair probably wrestled more than Hogan, I would guarantee, went on more Japan tours and definitely worked more dates.
Yeah. And in different styles, too.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Flair obviously was a booker for a long time. He could definitely help Tony kind of navigate that aspect as well.
Yeah.
So when you look at this tournament, like I mentioned, for the singles, Sting, Luger, Ric Flair, and the Great Muta, who had a impeccable record at this point. I mean, you can't get kind of better than that, just as far as WCW at this point in top guys. I mean, those are four, you know, Hall of Fame, whatever you want to call them, four top-of-the-line guys as far as that tournament.
Yeah, I mean, and as I look back, we're trying to cement the deal with New Japan. Do you know what I'm saying?
With Muta, yeah. Yep, he's over here on excursion, basically, from them.
Yeah.
when you look at WCW at this point, as far as the tag team division, it's pretty good too. Like I said, the Skyscrapers are hurt, but then they fill in with the new Wilds and Moans. But you got the Doom team, of course, of Simmons and Reed. You got the Road Warriors and the Steiner Brothers. I mean, that's stacked too. So you guys have a hell of a roster here in 1989, heading into 1990.
Yes, we did.
Yeah. Who else was on the booking committee in 89? I know it was you, Flair, Jim Ross, and I think Cornette had just left, right? Or no, Cornette's still there. So, Cornette's yeah. Who,
and I think that Barry Windham would come in and out. He was very smart. Barry picked up the business real. He was Dusty's star protege.
He had it over with Dusty to the WWF at this point as the Widowmaker, believe it or not. So he was gone for a bit here at late 89. How come the Midnight Express aren't in this tournament?
We didn't want to beat the Midnight Express. That's the only reason why I can think why we didn't do it.
Yeah, strange that arguably your best tag team, you know, obviously from the heel side, not in it.
Working tag team.
Right, right, yep.
You know, then we go back to Asses and Seats.
Hmm.
It becomes a whole different thing.
Yep. So then you definitely want the dynamic dudes in there then, no?
Yeah, exactly.
Did you like that gimmick at all with Shane and Johnny Ace as the dynamic dudes?
I felt so sorry for them. Jim just had no question what was going on. It's really bad.
Is that story true that he literally said, he looked it up, and he said the two most popular words right now are dynamic and dudes. Let's have a tag team called the Dynamic Dudes. Is that true?
Yeah.
That is a odd way of, I don't know, like putting something together. I mean, that's just strange.
Yeah.
Shows you he knows nothing about wrestling.
Yeah.
But he knows pizza, though. You know that. He knows his pizza, but he doesn't know wrestling.
Yeah.
With Pizza Hut.
And here's something. Where I always say things become urban legends. Do you think that he left, Jim Herd left the CNN and was picked up by his pizza limo?
No.
I mean, so that's how shit gets started. I mean,
right.
He doesn't work for them. Why would they send him a limo, you know?
Yeah, yep. So this show will start off with the tag team, the Iron Teams. The Steiner Brothers, Rick and Scott, defeated Doom with Woman and Nitron, if I count out, in 12 minutes and 30 seconds here. So they start off with a count out victory, and of course, count out victory is only 10 points, so they don't get the full, you know, the full 20 for the, the count out is 15 points. So they get 15 points, but they don't get the full 20 because it wasn't a pinfall or submission. Obviously, that's going to play big time later on if somebody else gets the pin. You know what I mean? The points.
Yeah.
Is that something when you're booking it, you got to think about way in advance, like, okay, we got to plan out the points so it looks very close until the end?
Yeah. Absolutely. It's absolutely hard.
Do you like the point system here? The 20, the 15, the 10. You like that?
If you're in a tournament.
Kind of need it, I guess, right? You can't just go wins and losses.
No.
Did you like the pairing of Woman with Ron Simmons and Butch Reed, of her with Doom? Did you think that they meshed well together?
Absolutely. I thought they were fabulous together.
What about Nitron? He was known as, of course, later on, Taylor Mayne, the famous actor. He was in Troy. He was in X-Men as Sabretooth. Did you think Nitron had what it takes to make it as a professional wrestler?
I'm not. I think he could have made it. If he could have made it in show business, he could have made it in wrestling if he had put more time into it.
He's about 6'10", 300-some pounds. So, I mean, he was a big dude. Yeah. He's basically like Kevin Nash, basically. I mean, he's just a big dude, look, just like that.
Yep.
But the Steiner brothers get the win, and they get the good old 15 points via countdown. Next matchup, a little bit of a surprise here with the finish, but Lex Luger versus Sting in the first match for the men's Iron Man. Lex Luger gets the victory over Sting in 11 minutes and 30 seconds here. So definitely booking here as if Sting, who's obviously the big babyface in WCW at this point, I mean, definitely looks like, man, there's no way he could win, right? I mean, that's kind of the reasoning here.
Right. That's the reasoning.
Luger, of course, had his foot on the rope, so it's not like he beat him clean, but he does get the win over Sting here. A little bit of chicanery. Keep Sting strong, though.
Yep.
So then we have the Road Warriors, Hawk and Animal, with Paul Ellering defeating Doom in a tag match that goes about 8 minutes and 30 seconds. Of course, by winning the match here, that means they get the full 20 points, as Luger did as well. Do you like Doom losing, you know, within two matches of each other to the Steiners and the Road Warriors?
Do I like it? No, but for the flow of the show, you had to do it.
You think you should have spaced it out more, though, as far as Doom? Because it's like, wow, they're pretty much eliminated already, and we're only 3 matches in.
No, I don't think that way, because here's the problem. We're in competition. You can't take your foot off the gas at all at this time. I mean, you want them to be talking to fans. This was the best one. This was the best one. You know, they would do it. And Doom and the Road Warriors weren't going to have the greatest match of all times.
But the crowd was going to be into it. That's for damn sure.
Do you really think the crowd was into it that much?
Into them, yeah, definitely.
Who? The Road Warriors?
The Road Warriors. Like, you know, they would pop big on all their moves and stuff. They were definitely into the Road Warriors.
I'm talking about the match.
I mean, moderately. I mean, it wasn't bad at all. I mean, it was pretty good. The crowd was you know, moderately into it for sure. But I know what you mean. They're not going to. It's not Rock and Roll Express versus the Midnight Express here. The crowd's going nuts. You know.
Yeah. Right.
So the Road Warriors and the Steiners both have wins, and that's kind of like the big match. And I know you guys probably know this, Booker. I mean, everybody as fans were like, "Oh my God, who the hell would win? The Road Warriors or Steiners?" Right. I mean, that's like the marquee matchup there for tag teams.
Right.
Next up, we have Ric Flair and the Grey Muda. Ric Flair, of course, is with Arn and Ole Anderson. Grey Muda is, of course, with Gary Hart. This is kind of a surprising one because it's 2 minutes. Ric Flair rolls up and beats Grey Muda in only 2 minutes. Is this simply a time constraint thing?
Yeah.
Do you think that it makes Muda look bad, that he's basically has like an impeccable record, almost undefeated? I mean, he's awesome at this point. Do you think, I mean, really, technically he's unpinned. So you could kind of make a statement that he's unbeaten, but he's unpinned. So he's had a great WCW run. And then his first loss is in 2 minutes. Do you like that?
No, I had to think about that one for a while. No, I didn't at all. But
how would you have booked it differently, though?
Luda was hurt too. That has a lot to come into play. Luda had hurt his knee bad. I think that's the beginning of his knees being hurt.
It is crazy that, you know, he's unpinned. You know, they're really pumping him up. You know, you could say undefeated, and then he loses to Flair in 2 minutes. There's a lot of other stuff going on in the match, like Gary Hart's getting involved, Bud Sawyer and the Dragon Master, Kendo Nagasaki. They come down and try to get involved, which means Arn and Ole Anderson get involved. And then when all that stuff's going around, there's a distraction. Then Flair rolls up Muda for an inside cradle. So it's not like he completely just loses and you bury him. There's a lot of chicanery going on in the match. Does that kind of make up for the loss at all or no?
Yeah, it does make up for the loss, but it was one of those things. Him being hurt was not the proper time for him to be in hurt. You know what I mean?
And let's face it, you're going to have 12 matches because it's a round robin tournament. You have to have 12 matches on the show. You know what I mean? So, I mean, there's some matches that have to be shorter than others.
Right.
In retrospect, would you have cut down maybe the Steiner Brothers and Doom, which went 12:30? Would you have cut that down about 5 minutes and maybe given that to this match if you were going back?
If Muda was hurt, what difference did it make?
Yeah, that's true. He couldn't, yeah. But he does have, you know, because he does have to wrestle Sting, and he does have to wrestle Luger too. So, I mean, he's going to have long matches later on, though. Like, him and Luger are going to go 15 minutes. Him and Sting go 9 minutes. So he is going to have long matches. So it does seem like it's just like a time crunch kind of thing. And he kind of, which sucks, he kind of seems like he fell by the wayside of it.
Yeah. And that's a sad thing, was that he was hurt. You know, being hurt. I mean, that's why everybody's on these younger guys today about getting hurt. You know, you get a money involved in a guy in a contract for a couple of years and he's hurt 18 months. You know what I mean?
Yep. Did you see MJF? He got hurt at the pay-per-view. Hurt his hip.
Really?
Dove from the top rope onto the floor. It was supposed to go through the table, but the table went down, so he jumped anyway with the guy on the floor. So they said a slight dislocation of the hip.
It's too bad. Too bad.
Doesn't expect to miss time, but he is hurt. So.
Yeah, I hate to see guys get hurt.
Next up, here we have a main event level match. Right here is the fifth match of the card. The Steiner brothers, Rick and Scott, defeated the Road Warriors with Paul Ellering, 7 minutes, 30 seconds. Great match here. Love this match. Great back and forth. And it's amazing, too, to look when you watch this match. The Steiner brothers are thrown around the Road Warriors as if they're cruiserweights. I mean, it is fun to watch.
Yeah, he was. The Steiner brothers were, at the time, were one of the few teams that could bounce the Road Warriors around like that.
Amazing to see, too, because it's like, holy crap. It doesn't, like, if you actually watch, it doesn't look like they're, you know, they're wanting to be thrown around, but it's almost like they can't not be thrown around. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things where once the Steiners got you hooked, you're going.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember, I think it was Conan was talking about this on his podcast about Scott Steiner, and he was saying that Steiner had him, and they was only supposed to give him one suplex, and he gave him three. And you know, I think Disco or something said, hey, well, why did you let him give you three? He goes, what was I going to do? You know what I mean? There's nothing you could do. If he's going to throw you around, he's going to throw you around.
Yeah. you know, wrestling was going through a transition at the time, too. A lot of bumps, a lot of things that didn't need to be done.
And I remember the Giant versus Scott Steiner on Nitro, and you had said for the Giant not to take any bumps, or you know, any big bumps, and Scott Steiner suplexed him. And I think the story goes, you said to him, why did you do that? And he said, what was I supposed to do? He literally picked me up. And like, he was dead weighting him, and he still picked him up and threw him over his head.
Yeah. Steiner was incredibly strong.
Any heat on Steiner for like the suplexing the Giant back in the day?
No. We all knew the Giant wasn't going anywhere.
Any heat on the Giant for letting that happen when you told him not to?
What was he going to do?
Yeah, I guess you could try to hook your arm on the rope, but then you're going to end up getting hurt, or one of them is going to end up getting hurt, and it's going to look bad.
He wasn't going to stop Steiner from doing anything.
Right. Well,
Steiner could do anything he wanted.
And I remember I was talking to Animal, I mean, obviously well before he passed, because he was actually good friends with a buddy of mine, my buddy Vinny. And he was talking about how Rick and Scott would like literally they'd be like, oh, we're not taking this. And Rick and Scott like, yeah, you are. Like even the Road Warriors. I mean, like it basically if the Steiners have their mind set on like suplexing somebody, there's nothing you could do.
Yep.
So then the sixth match, which is another great match here. Sting defeats the Great Muta in about 9 minutes to get his 20 points. He beats him via pinfall. So Muta, who was previously unpinned, is 0-2. He lost to Ric Flair, like we said, in only a few minutes, and he loses to Sting here. What do you think about that? Was he just being built up and unpinned just so he could lose here? Because he leaves to go back to New Japan permanently. I mean, obviously, he comes back and forth a bunch to WCW, but this is the end of his excursion. Is that the reason you make him look great unpinned, and now he's going to take a bunch of losses because he's on the way out?
No, he got hurt, and they were afraid to keep him in the States. They wanted the doctors to look at him.
Sting and Muta, man, they had a great feud.
Yeah.
Really kind of put Muta on the map, if you look at it. You got to give Sting a lot of credit, right?
Yes, you do.
Then we have the next match, which is a part of the tag team tournament. The new Wild Samoan, Samoan Savage, and Fatu with the Big Kahuna. Remember this gimmick for Sir Oliver Humperdinck, the Big Kahuna. You like that gimmick for him?
Yeah.
That's funny. They then defeat Doom as well in a tag match that goes about 8 minutes and 20 seconds. So now Doom also 0-3. 0 points. Do you like Doom being completely out of it here and being eliminated from the tournament?
Not really. I wish we could have kept him alive. But there was a lot of mistakes made, because this was a first time through, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So, yeah, Butch and Ron, they threw the Steiners around. They were the only people that threw the Steiners around.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So they're gone, they're eliminated, but the Wild Samoans have life and 20 points in their pocket there as we go through the tournament for the tag teams. It looks like, you know, obviously it's a three-way race, the Road Warriors, the Steiners, and the Samoans, but, man, the Steiners only getting that tag team victory, or the count-out victory, excuse me, looms large right now. So you got to think about the points right here in the Steiners. You know, that stinks right there for them. So then next matchup, Ric Flair and Lex Luger, they go to a time limit draw. I believe they said it was 15 minutes, but if you actually time the match, it actually went about 17 minutes. But it goes to a time limit draw. Great, great match here. Flair almost has the victory. He has the figure four in, but the time limit expires and we go to a draw. Do you like that finish?
Not really. I don't like draws, but, you know, we could have put a little more effort into giving it a little bit more pizzazz than we did.
When you look at that, though, only 5 points each. So even though Luger defeated Sting, you know, and then he's going to wrestle Flair here. He only gets 5 points. So, you know what I mean? Like that's yeah. not ideal to go get it to a draw here, because you're only going to get the 5 points. I mean, that's really going to set you back in the tournament if you're looking at it from a mathematical point of view. Next up, we have the Wild Samoans, the new Wild Samoans, with the Big Kahuna, of course, defeating the Steiner brothers in 14 minutes, but they win via DQ. So that's only 10 points. But that kind of puts the Steiner brothers almost out of contention here, depending on what happens in the last tag team match. But do you think, when you're looking at it, the Steiner brothers, it's okay that they lost here because it's via DQ?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So they do have 35 points, but if the Road Warriors, you know, get a pinfall in the main event, or the Samoans get a pinfall in the main event, they're going to end up winning the tournament. So it's really interesting the way you guys booked it, where the Steiner brothers are eliminated technically, but not really, but depending on the finish, only Doom is eliminated. So that last tag match, of course, is going to come in. That's just smart booking, right? I mean, of course, the last tag match, it's going to come down to who's going to really win.
I think that's the way it should have, you know.
Do you like the over-the-top rope DQ? Because that's what happened here. I kind of always hated that finish. Do you
hate that finish.
Lazy, right?
It's a lazy finish. I hate it.
Whose idea? I mean, is that just so old you guys just kept it into practice?
Yeah, and Rick really liked that finish for some reason. Because he had made a guy look real good, he could then let the guy go forward. You know what I mean? It wasn't the best idea they ever had.
Next up, we have Lex Luger defeating the Great Muta by DQ in 14 minutes and 15 seconds. The Great Muta spit the green mist in front of the ref, and that is why he takes the loss. So Muta is eliminated, going 0-3, losing twice by pinfall and once via DQ. Do you like that, though? Because it kind of keeps Muta strong in essence. He takes the loss, but it's by a DQ, so it's kind of keeping him strong.
It's keeping him strong, but it was now, if you look back, now you can see that Muta has no place here at WCW. He's going back home.
Yep. And if you look at it points-wise, that means Luger has 35 points. The victory over Sting got him 20 via pinfall. The DQ here gets him only 10. And and the fact that it was a time limit draw with Flair only gets him 5. So he's at 35 points right now. So yeah, that's just an interesting thing as well. The Steiners are at 35 points as well. Then we have the Road Warriors Hawk and Animal defeating the new Wild Samoans in a tag match in 5 minutes and 20 seconds here, which means the Road Warriors now have 40 points, which means the Steiners only have 35, which means the Wild Samoans only have 30. So even though the Steiners defeated the Road Warriors won their other matches and were able to get the victory. What do you think? The Road Warriors are the Iron Team. The Iron Man, if you will, with the Iron Man theme song, are the Iron Tag Team.
It was there. It was to show the people the power of both those teams.
So the Steiner brothers are kept strong because they beat the Roadies, but the Roadies are kept strong because they won the tournament.
Yeah.
And it kind of leads to like, wow, they got to wrestle again kind of thing. You know what I mean? It kind of leaves you wanting more.
Right.
Did you think that was obvious that they were going to be the team, the Road Warriors, to win the Iron Team tournament? Or do you think that was unpredictable that they won?
I think everybody in the world thought they were going to win.
Too obvious, though, then, booking-wise, to give them the win?
Yeah. But at that point, there wasn't anything we could do about it. People threw them. Those guys threw guys over their heads, suplexed them on the cement. They did everything but killed those poor guys who were wrestling.
Then we have the main event of the evening. Keep in mind, Mood is eliminated, 0 points. Flair has 25 points going in. Sting has only 20 points going in. And Luger's in the lead with 35 points going in. So if Sting doesn't get the win here, and depending on what happens, if it's a time limit draw, Flair would lose and Lex Luger would end up winning. So here's the match, the main event of the evening, the big match that, you know, between the two big stars of WCW. Sting defeats Ric Flair in 14 minutes and 30 seconds to win the Iron Man tournament. He is the Iron Man. What do you think about Sting going over Flair here?
We're building for a new star, right?
Yes.
It's a good way to do it.
And it's funny because Flair, Arn, and Ole here are kind of baby faces a bit. So it's not like necessarily a heel versus heel. I mean, a heel versus face. I mean, it's kind of a face versus face. A little bit of different match between Sting and Flair here as far as, you know, the way it's worked. Just, it was just a little bit different just as far as Flair kind of being more of a baby face.
I think the whole thing was set up this was a test to see if it would work. And it worked pretty good, I think.
Sting wins with the inside cradle. He is the Iron Man champion. He has 40 points. Luger finishes with 35, Flair 25, and Muda 0. So he just beats out Luger, even though Luger beat him earlier. So it's kind of same thing with Road Warriors and the Steiner brothers. Same thing here with Sting and Luger. Sting wins, but you still have Luger who can kind of say, you know, lay claim. Hey, I never lost. I beat Muda. Me and Flair went to a time limit draw and I beat Sting. Like, so you still have Luger making his case and keeping him very, very strong as well.
Right. Right.
Do you like the booking of Sting winning? Do you think that was too obvious, or do you think it's perfect because he's the next guy? He's the anointed
one. He's the anointed one. Yep.
So it's interesting after this that Sting and Flair will team up, obviously, with Arn and Ole as well. And Sting will become a member of the Horsemen. But the only caveat is since he won the Iron Man tournament and since Ric Flair is the WWE World Heavyweight Champion, they will have to square off, and the match is set for Wrestle War, which is a month or so down the road. It is interesting that Flair cannot be happy about that, right? I mean, just booking wise, the guy is in the Horseman. He just beat him. Now he wants a shot at the title. That's not going to sit well with the Nature Boy.
No. And anytime we needed to get back on track, we pulled in the Nature Boy. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, Rick did a wonderful job taking care of business.
I love this point in WWE because it's almost like, wow, Sting and the Horsemen, this is unbelievable. This doesn't feel right. And then, of course, when Sting says, I'm not giving up the title shot, I want to fight you, and they have that awesome moment of Clash of the Champions 10, he chooses to basically say, Flair, I don't give a damn. I want the title shot. I earned the title shot. I beat you. I want to wrestle you. And then Flair turns on him, and, of course, Arn and Ole turn on him as well. Just probably a moment we'll talk about in the future, but just a great, great WCW moment that I think everybody remembers as far as Flair and the Horsemen, the Anderson brothers, if you will, the Anderson cousins, turning on Sting.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. But the thing is, now we're assembling a great bunch of talent, and maybe if Herd knew something about wrestling, we wouldn't have fallen into the muck we've got. Fell into.
Yep. And then if you look at the rest, Sting gets injured that night, climbing the cage, hurts his left patella tendon, tried to attack Flair for beating him up earlier. Then that means that he's out for about 5 months or so, which means Luger kind of steps in, who was kept super strong at the show. So it's not like some guy comes out of thin air. So you do have that strong challenger for Flair. But it's just different because Luger was a heel. Now he's going to have to go back babyface again. It just stinks that Sting got hurt then because it kind of kills future plans. And then Muda will be losing to Arn Anderson for the TV title and head back to WCW head from WCW back to Japan, back to New Japan Pro Wrestling after February 90's Clash of the Champions 10. So he's gone. Doom would end up unmasking after losing to the Steiner brothers. And of course, the new Wild Samoans, aka the Wild Samoans, would leave for the WWF to be the head shrinker. So a lot of change after that.
A real lot of change. Yeah.
Too much change?
No, we were trying to find our way around at that time. People jumped the ship. A lot of change.
What would you grade the pay-per-view? Thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle as far as Starrcade 89 Future Shock?
I would put the thumbs in the up position because it was, I think it succeeded for what it tried to do. It was a brand new experiment and it worked. It didn't flop. So it could have been worked upon better and gotten it to be a better results. But again, this was not ours to be. We had Jim Herdin there, so there it was.
Not the great leader that you guys needed at that point in time, that's for sure.
Right.
All right, so let's hit the plugs. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @2manpowertrip. Check out the website, tmptempire.com. Kevin, what else you got going on in this crazy world?
Well, there's a bunch of dolls out of me that just came out this week. Look for them in the toy stores. And, television. We've been talking a couple of TV programs, companies about trying to get that old school wrestling up and running. So we got that going, and that's about where we're at, my friend.
All right. Awesome stuff. As always, thank you everybody out there for listening. See you right back here next time. Have a good one, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron. And also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com. And buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in Connecticut. Help is available for gambling. Call 1-888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, 21 and older, varies by jurisdiction. Void in ONT. See sportsbook.draftkings.com/football. Terms for eligibility, terms, and responsible gambling resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. College football fans, are you ready for week one? DraftKings Sportsbook is hooking you up with a can't-miss offer to start the season strong. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on college football and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Anything can happen in college football. That's right. Your team could go from unranked to dynasty mode in just a couple of years. Change comes fast. The only thing that's a lock is great offers from the DraftKings Sportsbook. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the code TASKMASTER, all lowercase. New customers can score $200 in bonus bets instantly when they bet just $5 on college football. Only DraftKings Sportsbook is the way to go, and use that promo code TASKMASTER, then the crown is yours. That's right. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use that promo code TASKMASTER. Own it, live it, win the crown.